All right, we are going to begin a new series today called You Are Freed. And I'm basing this series on John 8, verse 36, which says, "He whom the Son makes free is free indeed." And let me say this, I am so excited about what God is going to do in this series. But let me tell you why it is very, very important for you to be here over these next 8 weeks. And why Satan will do everything he can to stop you from hearing this message in particular, this series. It is because Satan has many believers in bondage. He does. He has many of us in bondage in some area of our life. Friends, listen to me. Most believers are not free indeed. Because actually, many believers don't even believe that they can be in bondage. And when Jesus makes this statement in John 8, 36, did you know that he's actually talking to believers? He's talking to, it says in John 8, 31, those who believed in him. So, is it possible for a believer to be in bondage? Well, we're going to go and answer that question in depth. Actually, we're going to answer some very difficult questions, such as, can a Christian be demon-possessed? So we will talk about that. And we're going to dig in today by first looking at Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. It says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes." Now this is the city of Gadara, so they call it Gerasenes. "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now this is one of the ways that the Bible refers to a demon, an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. In other words, he lived in a cemetery. "And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him." Okay, the word worship in the Greek here means to bow down. "And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with you, Jesus?" Now, let me say something here before I continue. This is actually the demon here talking through the voice of the man. This is the demon talking. Okay, do you follow? And you will understand why because of what he says. And the next verse tells us that Jesus had already spoken to him before this. We just get it in reverse order in the writing. I just wanted to clarify it, okay? Continuing on, verse 7. "And he cried out with a loud voice and said," now this is the demon talking, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." Okay? Do you see that this is the demon talking? That it wouldn't be the man? Because Jesus would not torment a man. This is the spirit talking. And then verse 8 tells us that Jesus had already said something to him because he says, "For." "For," he said to him. Some versions say he had already said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." So Jesus had already told him to come out, and he said, What have I to do with you? Please don't torment me, the Spirit says. Verse 9 now. Then he asked him, what is your name? Now, once again, he's not talking to the man. He's talking to the demon that is in the man. And the demon answers. He says, then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Okay, just so you know, that legion is a Roman word which means 6,826 soldiers. Okay, so it is safe to say that this man was demonized, right? My name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would send them out of the country. And listen, demonic spirits like to stay where they already have a stronghold. Continuing on. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons, not just one, all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, so at least 2,000 demons, at least. You following? And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You would have thought it might have said, and they were happy. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And we're going to completely define that word today. And about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. They wanted him to leave. I mean, you would have thought they would have pleaded for him to stay and start teaching seminars or something, right? And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Because remember, he didn't live at home. He had lived in the mountains and in the cemetery. And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So, this guy goes and proclaims what has happened. You know, that he was demonized and he gets set free. He was demon-possessed, and he gets set free. I mean, it is a fantastic story. Okay, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about from this story, though. Here's the first one. Number one, there really are demons. There really are demons. We know this because Jesus set this man free. Okay, the word demon, listen, the word demon is in the Bible, in the New King James Version, 82 times. And in some other versions, 80 times. It's just translated a little differently in those versions. And in the Gospels, we see that 61 times Jesus is directly dealing with demons or talking about demons. All right. One of the reasons that I think that it is in the Gospels so much is because no one had ever had authority over demons. not until Jesus came. And Jesus had authority. And he began to immediately confront demonic strongholds and bondage. Okay, so there are demons. There is no doubt. Other words, or otherwise, we would have to actually cut out a lot of the Bible and a lot of Jesus' ministry, okay? Let me just give you some scriptures so you can see. Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Notice the Bible says it, demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Oh, okay. Why would the Bible say that he cast them out if they weren't there? It wouldn't, right? Matthew 9, verses 32 and 33. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." Matthew 17, verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Mark 3, verses 14 and 15. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Mark 6, verses 12 and 13. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed. Healed them. And Mark 16, verse 17 says, "And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Okay, let me say it this way. C.S. Lewis says that there are two groups of people that Satan absolutely loves and gets excited over. The skeptic and the superstitious. Let me say it another way. There are some people who see a demon behind every bush. They are the superstitious people. But there are people who don't even think demons exist and have never existed, or that they don't exist today. That's the skeptic. And here's what C.S. Lewis says. Satan loves both types because they are both in bondage. They are both in deception. And there are people that when I start talking about demons, and I've done this in the past, they're like, "Oh, Pastor, let's not talk about that stuff." And then there are other people that feel like, "Oh, good, he's getting to the good stuff." Okay? Listen to me. If you are in either one of those camps, you need to move to the middle, okay? All right? You're in the wrong camp. Listen, we are not skeptics, and we're not superstitious. Listen, we don't deny them, but they are there. And Jesus came to set us free. Amen. Friends, you will never get free if you don't know that you can be in bondage, that you can be in trouble. Charles Stanley says it this way. I love this. He says, "You can't cast out the flesh, and you can't disciple a demon." You can't cast out the flesh, and you can't disciple a demon. In other words, there are people that simply say, "Oh, it's just the flesh. What you're going through is, it's just the flesh. What you're going through is just the flesh, and you just need to learn to overcome the flesh, and And what you need is discipleship or discipline. You just need more discipline in your life. And then others say, no, you've got a demon. And the reason that you can't do this or this is because you have a demon. They think that deliverance is the answer to everything. Okay? Here's the age-old debate. Do we need discipleship or deliverance? Here's the answer. Yes. Because you can't cast out the flesh, and you can't discipline a demon. Are you following me? It's both. Okay, when I was in seminary, we had these small groups of classes. They were called spiritual discipline classes, and we were put in one each semester. And it consisted typically of about five people and a professor, okay? And it was kind of like an accountability group in many ways. And I remember in one of those classes was a guy named Robert. And Robert was saved, and he loved the Lord, and he loved his wife, and he loved his children. But one week we got on the topic of demonic bondage. And he's a pastor, okay? And Robert realized and confessed that he thinks that he is in bondage to lust. And remember, he was saved, okay? And our professor started sharing with us about demons and showing us scripture after scripture that demons can take Christians in bondage. And I remember Robert said to him, wait, are you saying I have demons? And my professor said to him very graciously, oh, you have a whole flock of them tormenting you. And he didn't mean that he was demon-possessed, okay? Stay with me. But Robert got so upset, and he just started saying, I got demons. And my professor explained what he meant, of course, by that comment. But let me tell you what happened next. The more our group went to God's Word, listen to me, the more hope that Robert had. Actually, the more hope we all had. Because we realized that believers can get set free from demonic bondage. So listen to me. Don't get upset with what I'm telling you. Don't get upset with it. That you could have a problem like this in some area of your life. Don't get upset. You ought to get excited, because the great thing is that Jesus has come to take care of these problems. Amen. You know, I've been in ministry about 14 years now. And the only people I've ever seen that can't get set free are the people that won't admit that they're in bondage. And listen, we are probably all in bondage in some area. Friends, if you will only admit it, you can get set free. So number one, there really are demons. Number two, they really do enter people. They really do enter people. John 10, verse 1, Jesus said, most assuredly, meaning that this is very, very true, what I'm telling you. He who does not enter the sheepfold, okay, what in the world would the sheepfold represent? Okay, wouldn't that be where the sheep are? Meaning the believers? Enter the sheepfold by the door. Who's the door? Jesus is the door. But climbs up some other way into the sheepfold. That's where they're going. The same is a thief and a robber. And from John 10, verse 10, we know that the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay. Here's what he's saying. The thief can get in. And he can't come through me. But he can get in some other way. And he will do everything he can to get into the sheepfold some other way. Okay, so can a Christian be demon-possessed? Well, let's explain this word, and let's go back to the original language. The word demon-possessed in the Greek is actually two words. It's actually daimoni zomai. Okay? Daimoni would be the word demon, and zomai means possess. So to translate it, demon-possessed, is okay. But I think a better translation is demonized. But to translate it, demon-possessed, is okay. Other than the fact that we did not then, many people, listen, teach people what possessed means here. Stay with me. Because there are two Greek words for possession. One is ownership. And this right here is not the word for ownership. This word right here means, listen, to gain mastery over. Okay? Let me give you some synonyms for that. To gain control over. Or to have power over. So, can a Christian be owned by a demon? No. We are owned by God. But can a Christian be under the control of a demon? Yes. The actual definition means to be under the power of a demon. This is the definition of daimoni zomai, the Greek word. To be under the power or under the mastery or under the control of a demon in a certain area of your life. Maybe it's in the area of lust or unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment. Or gluttony, or being critical of others all the time. I mean, one time, a woman came up to me at the church that I was at, and we were talking, and she somewhat said, kind of proudly to me, "You know, I've been told that I have the gift of criticism." And I said to her, "You do know that wasn't a compliment, right? You may be gifted in that, but that isn't a gift from God, okay? Now, don't raise your hand, and most certainly don't point to the person sitting next to you either, okay? But let me just ask you this question. Is there in any area of your life that you just can't get victory in? Is there an area of your life that you feel helpless, powerless? Is there an area of your life where you have a sin and you have confessed it over and over and over and over and over? And I don't have enough time to keep saying over and over and over again. You know, and you've told God, "I will never do that again." But you keep doing it. Okay, can I say this to you lovingly? Wake up. You are in bondage in that area. But do you know what we like to do? We like to say, "Well, I have a weakness in that area." You've had it for 20 years. It's not a weakness, right? And listen, I'm not telling you bad news this morning. I'm really not. I'm telling you good news. If you are in bondage, I know who can set you free. His name is Jesus. He can set you free. But he can't set you free if you don't know you are in bondage. So you have to know that you are in bondage. I named this message Under the Influence. Under the Influence. Okay, listen. If a man, and let's say that this man is a Christian, he is a believer, he believes in Jesus, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You follow? Christian man, okay? If this man who is a Christian begins to look at pornography, hear me, you are opening the door to the enemy. And he will come into your life. Now, he's not going to own you, but he will come in, and you will be under his influence, under his power. And this man who may be a very, very good husband, a good father, maybe even a good grandfather, he will wind up doing something totally out of his character that shocks him and everybody else around him that he's very ashamed of, because he was under the influence of a spirit that he had opened the door to. Are you following me? Okay, so now listen to me. If you're starting to get depressed, don't get depressed. We've established there really are demons, and they really do enter into people's lives. But here's point number three. Jesus really does cast them out. He really does. Go to Luke 10. Luke 10, we're going to be verses 17 to 21. And what you remember, Jesus had sent the 70. He sent the 12 out with power over demons. Then he sent out 70, okay? It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, and they're talking to Jesus now, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And here's essentially what Jesus says. That doesn't impress me. Because here's what he says. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So Jesus is essentially saying, hey, when Satan rebelled against my Father, he was cast out quicker than lightning. So I'm not impressed by Satan, a created being. You with me? Continuing on. Behold, I give you authority. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And listen, he doesn't mean snakes and stinging critters, okay? It's not what he's talking about here. This is demons. The whole subject is demons. Serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Notice, you don't need to get excited about this. This is not the exciting part. Continuing on, that the spirits are subject to you. But I do want you to notice that the spirits are subject. You see that? This is the Bible saying that. It's not Pastor Tom. And this word, by the way, subject, it means obedient, submissive slaves. That's what it means. They are obedient, submissive slaves in the name of Jesus. So, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. Now remember the word these things, okay? From the wise and the prudent. In other words, from people who think they are smart. And revealed them to these babes, meaning these young disciples. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All right, notice he said, Father, thank you, you have hidden these things, all right, okay? And what are we talking about here? We're talking about these things, or they're talking about authority over demons, okay? Stay with me. And he basically said that, I know, God, that the smart people, they don't believe that there are demons. They don't believe that we have authority over them. But these precious babes, these young believers, they know. They saw it. They understand it. And he's saying, I thank you, Lord, for that. Friends, the spirits are subject in his name. You see that? We don't tend to have problem knowing that God has the power. But what the enemy does is he likes to focus in on our weaknesses and our history. And he tells us, you can't get free. You can't get free of that. Other people can get free, but you can't get free because I've got you in bondage. Got you in bondage or in a stronghold in this area of your life. Let me tell you right now, that's a lie. Okay? I just want to remind you of this man in Mark 5, where we started. This man was demonized. He was demon-possessed. He had a legion of demons. He lived naked in the cemetery. Okay? So none of you are as much bondage as that guy. I mean, you all still have your clothes on, right? So that's good. And I want to show you something that will give you hope. Mark 5, verse 6 says, this one verse, I'm not sure you understand the significance of it. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. I think so many times we read right over that and we don't understand what that meant. Here's what I want to tell you from that one verse. That one verse simply says, Satan does not have the power to stop you from coming to Jesus. That's what we just read. I mean, because think about it. If he could have stopped anyone, he could have stopped that guy, but he couldn't. So if you are in bondage, if you have a difficulty in your life, if you have a weakness, and let's be honest, we all do. If you have an area of sin that you cannot stop, you cannot break, well, let's be real. You very likely could be in bondage in that particular area. You're under the influence in that area. But Jesus can set you free. Amen? My friends, you really don't want to miss the rest of this series. This is just skirting the surface. We're going to get into it, and we're going to see how Jesus, through the power of Jesus, he can break all strongholds and all bondage in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We know that God, you are a God who loves us, who desires for us to be set free. And Lord, may we just examine ourselves honestly and truthfully this week. May we examine our lives. May we see if there's an area that we just seem to have real struggles with. We can't seem to overcome something in that area, Lord. And may we just seek you in the midst of this realization and see if it, maybe if it's, we don't have a stronghold. Maybe we have some bondage. We Because, Lord, we know that the first step is to admit it, to see it, to come to you and say, Lord, I know that this area of my life, I seem to have a stronghold or bondage in, and I need you to set me free. I need you to cast out whatever spirit is influencing me in this life, in this area of my life. Lord, I know this is a humbling experience. But my heart as a pastor is, as I want this congregation, everyone listening on Facebook and everyone listening on Pulse Radio, I want them to live their life victoriously in you. So that means we need to get real with ourselves. Lord, be with your people this week as they examine their lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for our final song.